This morning we are going to be in Matthew chapter 17, a very popular passage about the Transfiguration, but that's not what we're talking about. I mean, I guess, yes, we are, but it's more as I'm sitting here this morning thinking, God, we know you showed on the Mount of Transfiguration. We know that you showed and transfigured yourself. Lord, I know there'll be one day that you're going to transfigure us. You're going to change us. You're going to give us a spiritual body. You're going to draw us into your presence, and you're going to give us a new body, an eternal body. And we know that. But God, I want you to change us today. This whole week, as I've prepared this message, it was one of those that just, it flowed so easily because it is so basic and it is so needed. If we back up and if we go up into Matthew chapter 16, and you don't have to go there, but you're right there anyway. But in Matthew 16, he starts telling them about the fact that he's going to suffer from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and he's going to be killed and on the third day rise again. And he tells them that, and then in the next few verses, he says, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross daily and follow me. And I know as many of us as Christians that we say, yeah, we follow him. And last night, early this morning, whatever it was, God kind of gave me this vision. He said, see, this is how I feel like you follow me. If you've ever watched a detective show, you always see them hide a couple cars back. You know, whoever they're following is a couple cars in front. And they stay a few cars back so that that person that they're following will never know. And I thought, God, that's really what I... It seems like as long as I can keep him in view, as long as I can know that I still see him and see when he makes a turn and see when he stops and see when he goes, then I will be okay. I feel like I follow God like a policeman follows a suspect. But that's not the way it should be. And then I thought, it's kind of like some of us, like on Facebook. If you've got Facebook, that's one of the things that they do now. They've got so many of them, I lose track. But you can follow people on Facebook, which seems kind of creepy, but you can follow people on Facebook. And when they do something, they'll post something and your Facebook page will pop to it and you can see what they're doing. You can see their post. You can read their post. You can watch where they're at on vacation. You can do all these weird, weird things that by following them on Facebook. But you just do that every now and then because they just post something occasionally. Now, some people will post every day. Some people will follow every day. Other people may post something once a week or once a month or whatever. And you follow them and you see what they're doing and because you're interested in what it is they're doing. Or maybe you're just interested in that person. But we tend to follow God that way too. We tend to follow God when we think, well, I'm going to get on to my godly self. And I'm going to see what God's wanting me to do. And I'm going to follow Him. But oh, something else come up. I'm going to click that off and I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go about my business. And then when I've got some time, I'll get back on and I'll follow again. Just to see what they're doing. Just to see if He's doing anything any different. And we have this tendency to follow God that way. And as I'm looking over this week and thinking about this and praying it over, there's a lot of times as Christians we feel like to follow God. I'm a Christian, so I'm a Jesus follower. You're a Jesus follower. In the Bible, they would say they followed the way. We claim to be following Jesus by going to church on Sundays and maybe Wednesdays. maybe Bible studies here and there. We claim to follow God that way. Or maybe we even claim to follow God by reading our Bible. And those things can be involved in following God, but they cannot replace following God. And I think that's sometimes where we're at. We want to do the things that kind of are part of following God. But when we talk about what they do here in this passage this morning, when it comes to following God, I want each of you, as I did all week, to look and see if there is evidence in you following God. And it's not just a mental thing that I'm going to check off. It's like, well, I went to church. I'm following God. I read my Bible every day this week. I'm following God. I know a lot of people that do those things that have no idea where God's leading in their life. As we go through this passage this morning, my prayer is that God will show you what He means when He says, "Follow me." Let's read this passage. It's just 8 verses. We're going to be in 17. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Him. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good that we are here. If You wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for You and one for Moses and one for Elijah.' He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Rise, have no fear.' And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I pray that today I could just relay what You've tried to share with me all week. Lord, help us. Draw us close to You. We know that Your Word says we can't come to You unless You draw us. Lord, I pray that You would draw us, but I pray that we would have the desire to be drawn. Lord, I pray that You would speak to us in a mighty way today over something so basic, something so simple, Lord, that I'm missing, that we miss because life is there. Well, we know that's a blessing. But Lord, it can be a curse. And we pray that You would just help us today to understand where You want us. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. Now as we look at this, like I said, Jesus had just told His disciples that of His death and His resurrection, and that they would have to give up their life in order to save it. They would have to give it up for His sake. And so, after that comment, after that that conversation, He goes and He tells them, 6 days go by. He tells them, if you're going to follow Me, this is what you have to do. If you're going to follow Me, this is what you have to do. And I'm talking, you have to lay down your life. Because your soul is not worth anything that you've got. Now that's a paraphrase, but what's worth giving up your soul? Nothing. And so as He tells them this, it says, then 6 days later, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. Now in chapter 16, He talked to all of them. He told all of them, all of His disciples, if you're going to follow Me, follow Me. But here, 6 days later, He chose 3. And He told them to come with Him. And as I thought about that this week, I thought about different times throughout Jesus' ministry where He would choose to take certain ones with Him, or He would speak to certain ones, or He would set by certain ones. Well, here He calls 3. he did not call Andrew to go up on that mountain. That just really struck me this week. He didn't call the others. He just called these three to come up on the mountain with him. I want you to understand today that because he calls you to do something, he may not call your family member to do the same thing. You may have to go by yourself. It may not be a whole group. It may just be a few. But when he calls you, I don't know if he went over and he grabbed Peter and said, "Peter, come with me. James and John, you come with me. The rest of it, we'll be back." I don't know what he said. I don't know if he whispered it. I don't know if he just came and he just tugged on their shirt. I don't know what he said. But it says that he took specifically Peter, James, and John. So somehow he relayed a message to Peter, James, and John that I want you to come with me. I don't know how he is going to get a hold of you. I don't know if he's going to tug on your heart. I don't know if he's going to whisper in your ear. I don't know if he's going to smack you in the forehead with a 2x4 to get your attention. But God is calling you to do something. He is calling you to follow Him. You may say, "Well, I'm not even a Christian." Well, then He's calling you to become a Christian. "Well, I've only been a Christian a few years." Then He's calling you to become closer to Him and to follow Him. Well, I'm older in life. I don't care. He's calling you to do something that will change His kingdom. Too many times as Christians, we are content to be sitting back with Andrew and the other guys. We're content to be in a different boat. As long as we can see Him, I'll follow Him as long as I can keep Him in vision. He did not give that option here. And when it comes to your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, He's not giving you that option either. He is calling you personally to follow Him, and not from a distance. Not from a distance. So He calls Peter, James, and John. Then what does He do? He says He led them up the mountain. Man, there are so many times that I think Christians want to do this mentality of, "Well, Jesus sent out the 72. Or He sent out the 12. And so God is sending me to do something." Jesus sent people because He was in human form and He could not go with everyone. But today, because of God's Holy Spirit, He is not going to send you someplace that He does not lead you. He led them up that mountain. They didn't know where they were going. He just said, "Follow me." And then He led them up the mountain. Over the years in youth, I can remember playing so many different games where we would lead somebody blindfolded, or we would sit back and we would holler at people and give them directions. And sometimes I feel like that's where I'm at as a Christian. But God is saying, "All you've got to do is follow me." If you lined up kids in here and you said, "Okay, you're going to follow the leader, and I just want you to zigzag through the pews," they are watching the person in front of them. But as Christians, when we follow God, we just get a glimpse of Him every now and then. As long as He's in my vision. No, to follow Him, you have to be close so that He can lead you. He's not going to send you. He's going to go before you. That's a promise. He will never send you someplace that He doesn't go before you, He doesn't go beside you, and He doesn't come behind you. But for you and I, we don't want to be led. My daughter and son-in-law have a dog. And and it's an Australian Shepherd, and you put that thing on a leash, let me tell you who's being led. Man, he dragged Donis or me all over the yard. Now, I don't know how he treats his mom and dad, that's what we call them, but man, when he thinks, I'm connected, we got the leash on, we're good to go. God, come with me. And I take off doing what I think, God, this is what I'm out here. I'm out here to do my business. I can't believe I'm talking about this at church. But that dog takes off. He's out here to do his business. He's out here to check out the yard, to smell the yard, to do everything he can possibly do. But he's still in contact because the leash is still connected. And as silly as that sounds, that's where we are. God wants to lead us. And to get that dog to a point to where I could walk through the yard and lead him, it's going to take a lot of time, a lot of training, a lot of effort. You and I want to be in charge of the leash. That's where we're at. We want to do what we think God's got us out there to do. We're going to drag him with us everywhere we go. That's not the way it works. That is not the way it works. Jesus led them, and to lead, you have to be in front. He led them up a high mountain by themselves. There's a couple different thoughts out there by expositors that believe one is the Mount of Tabor, T-A-B-O-R, however you pronounce that, and the other one is Hermon. That's the two beliefs of where this Mount of Transfiguration took place. I lean more towards Hermon because the passage in 16 took place at Caesarea Philippi, and Mount Hermon is right there beside Caesarea Philippi. Very accessible. So I lean that way. That mountain is over 9,000 feet high. And in my mind, I had always looked at it like, well, he left those others there, and he took Peter, James, and John, and he walked up on this little hill. No, it says he went up on a mountain, not just a mountain, he went up on a high mountain. Now, if you've ever been to Colorado, and you get up there, I remember one time we went out there, and we were taking the youth, and I'll never forget James Graves and Jimmy Pelfrey. They get out of the van, and man, we're going to run up that little mountain right over there. The closer they got to that mountain, the higher that mountain seemed. They were about to die by the time they got back. Going up a mountain takes time. Jesus led them up this high mountain, and that would not have been easy. But you and I, when we're led by Jesus, we want it to be easy. I'm sure it wasn't easy going up this mountain. And I'm sure if it was a high mountain, it took some time. And I want God to lead me to the right spot and have it happen today. Maybe tomorrow at the latest, but God, have it happen quickly. Get me through that journey up the mountain quick. That's not his idea. Because so many people that aren't devoted to God want to stop during the journey. They don't want to follow him. They're just hanging around. But when he says, I'm going to lead you up a high mountain, he's going to lead you, one. It's not going to be easy. Two, and that journey is going to take all your life. Now, there may be different stages in that journey. I read an article one time about climbing Mount Everest, and after you go like 20,000 feet, there's another camp, and then you go so many thousand feet, and there's another camp, and you go and they keep having camps just. As you work your way up, people have set up base camps to where you can just go from one to the next. And people want to say, man, how do you ever climb Mount Everest? And that article said, one step at a time, from base camp to base camp. Man, you and I want to take God's journey and we want to go from the bottom all the way to the top without stopping and refreshing. And sometimes God wants to tell us something at this base camp. And He wants us to meet somebody at this base camp. Somebody that's went before us. He led them up a high mountain and He's leading you on that journey right now. Do you have Him just in sight? Or are you like some of those climbers going up Mount Everest that have a rope tied to the leader? And if it gets snowy, if things block my vision, I still know He's there because I'm tied to Him. That's what He wants. If things in this world block my vision just for a little bit, I want to be tied to Him. I don't want everything to depend on me watching Him. I want to get a hold. I want to be connected. I want to be led. I know it's going to take a long time, and I know it's not going to be easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. He led them up a high mountain. And it says by themselves. And yeah, they were by themselves. There was the four of them when they started. I don't know how many were with you when you started on your journey, but I know of at least one that was. And that was Jesus. If you're truly willing to follow Jesus, then understand those things have to happen. But this is where your homework comes in. This next week, this next month, maybe even just today. This is where your homework comes in. We know Peter, James, and John followed Him up that high mountain to the top. And can you imagine getting to be there? Peter doesn't even know what to say. He just starts rambling about, I'll make a tent for all three of you. It's great that we should be here. And he's just rambling on. And God has to interrupt him while he was still speaking. A voice spoke to them. Man, how many times has God had to interrupt me because I think I know what's going on? But I want you to put yourself through a test this week. Because when someone is willing to follow God the way He desires, they will see rewards in their life. And this is not one of those where, hey, do this and financially you'll be blessed. Do this and you'll have all these material blessings. That's not what I'm talking about. If you see this in this passage the way God has it for us, you will understand the rewards that He's going to give you. If you follow Him, these are rewards that He has. It tells us that as they got up there, He was transfigured before them and His face shone like the sun and His clothes became as white as light. And this cloud begins to envelop them. That's the glory of God. When you follow Him like you're supposed to, you will see God move in your life. You can't help it. If I follow somebody and follow the leader, when they move, I will see it. If you follow God the way He wants you to, when He moves, you will see it. You will see great wonders that before other people just thought, that's a coincidence. That's just something that happened in life. No, that's God moving. And you were close enough to see it. They saw the glory of God. They saw this cloud, the Shekinah glory of God, come down and envelop them on the top of this mountain. Had they not followed Him, they would not have seen that. From down where the other people were, that could have been a rain cloud. Isn't it sad when people want to get so confused that the glory of God, that's a rain cloud. How could you ever think that? Because you had never experienced it. If you will follow Him, you will see great works and wonders in your life. And I'm not trying to prophesy. I'm just saying that when you see God, He is great. He does wonders. He does works. And you will see them. You may just see them in other people's life. But He wants to do them in yours. But you have to follow Him. You have to be connected to Him. They were not only able to just see the glory of God, but they heard the voice of God. Like I said, Peter was speaking. And then out of this cloud comes a voice that says, "This is my beloved Son." Well, that kind of narrows down who it is. The voice of God spoke. But not just that, get this. "This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased." Peter, listen to Him. James and John, listen to Him. When you follow God, He will speak to you personally. I'm a pastor, Steve. I've never had that happen. When you follow God, He will speak to you. But too many times, we don't want to listen. Why do you think He left us this book? Why do you think He left us His Spirit? If I follow Him with all my heart, He will speak to me the way I am following Him, to my heart. He is an individual, personal God who loves you and desires to spend time with you. If you follow Him with all your heart, He will speak to you. You will see great wonders and miracles in your life. And I almost missed this next one. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. I can't even imagine. You're following them and all of a sudden you're seeing Elijah and Moses and Jesus changed in this cloud, and all of a sudden you hear the voice of God speaking to you. What do? They fell on their face, terrified. I think this is our problem. Or it's mine. Let me put it that way. This is my problem sometimes. I'm not close enough to God that when He speaks that I hear Him. And sometimes when I hear Him, I just feel like, yeah, that's what He's supposed to do. How long has it been since you've just totally been so much in the presence of God that you just literally fell in fear? Because you knew for that second you're in the presence of the Almighty God. The Creator of the stars, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of life. And He spoke to you. Too many times as Christians, we'd have no fear of God. And I'm not talking about being afraid of Him. But yeah, maybe. But I'm just saying, how long since the total awe of God has just dropped you to your knees, to where you couldn't even look up? How long since you have had such a reverence for God that you just fell to your knees because you knew that God was speaking to you? Didn't happen to Andrew, because Andrew wasn't following. Now, in this case, Andrew wasn't called up there. But you and I are called to follow Jesus Christ. We are called to follow Him wherever He leads us. And so many times, like I said, following Him just seems to have this flimsy little idea that it's just, yeah, I tack that name on me as I go through my life. If I'm going to follow Him, then He leads. And I follow. I listen. I see Him. I hear Him. I fear Him and I have a reverence of Him. And man, look what happened when they finally had that fear and reverence for God. They fell to their faces and Jesus came and He touched them. Jesus came over and touched them and said, "It's okay." And they stood up and all they could see was Jesus. When you and I fall and have total reverence for God and awe of God the way He desires because we're following Him, trust me, when you do look up, you'll see nothing but Jesus. That's His desire. All of this takes place to show them, yes, the glory of God and that Jesus is God's Son and they're supposed to listen to Him. But what takes place is they understand what it truly means to follow Him. But unfortunately, they went back down the mountain to where life happens. And sometimes life keeps us from following so closely. But that's His desire. That's what He's done. So this week, when you read your Bible, when you spend time in praise and you spend time in prayer, thanksgiving, see if you're listening to hear God speak to you. Don't just go to speak to Him. Go to let Him speak to you. Because sometimes in following people, they need to tell you, "Hey, right up here, we're going to go around this sharp rock." If we don't listen, that's our fault. So see if you hear Him. See if you see His hand moving. Because He wants to. But you've got to be close enough to see. And that means taking all those other things that are going to get between me and Him. If I'm looking, following Him, there's no cars between me and Him. There's no life between me and Him. It's just me and Him. And nothing's going to break that. Yeah, that other stuff's going to be there, but not between me and Him. That's His desire. Learn and grow in your fear and reverence of God. Well, I've got it all made. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. When He splits that eastern sky, I'm going with Him. Or when I take my last breath on this earth, I know I'm going to be with Him. And that's true. And God, through Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He ripped that veil so that I could boldly go into the presence of God. Yes, that's true, but I'm still going into the presence of God. I'm not just going over to my neighbor's house. I'm going into the presence of God. And yes, I can do that boldly because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But understand this. He is God. And one of these days, the whole world is going to bow before Him. And you and I flippantly walk through every day just saying, "Hey God, watch over me. Hey God, where you at?" Fear and reverence of God are gone from Christians today. There's no other way to put it. We are so much better than the world only by the grace of God. You and I need to understand that all He wants us to do is follow Him. Worship Him, praise Him, honor Him, thank Him, glorify Him. And it all comes when we look up and really all we see is Jesus. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before You and I just, Lord, I pray that You'd help me be more what You want. Lord, I pray for each of us here, wherever we're at. I don't know where everybody's at. It's not my business. Lord, I thank You for loving us enough that we could follow You. Lord, I thank You and I praise You for Your love. And I will never understand why You love me but I will never doubt it. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.